The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and J-Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
We're hoping that you have a great Tuesday. Captain J Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. The same ESPN Chicago app in which you can find the Armchair Nutritionist podcast with one Dan Zetterman. Breaking down what you need to eat, how to get yourself in shape. It's the Armchair Nutritionist, available on the ESPN Chicago app.
I know he's a big shot executive up there.
Yeah.
And he prances through the office with the long hair, and he's in great shape.
Yeah.
I'm the director of content. He misses it down here.
Oh, you think so?
He can't keep his beak out of it. He loves it. He misses being down here.
Okay.
He misses the energy.
Mm-hmm.
Being in the fray.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking news. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Take that, Danny.
All right. Now that we've talked to Danny, let's talk about the Chicago Bears. The Bears and my guy, David Montgomery. He's one of my favorite Bears on the team, Cap, because he gives a damn.
He does.
The Bears are down offensively, or if they're floundering, at least you got David Montgomery. He talked about a number of things yesterday, if you missed it, talking about how good things are happening with the Bears, and the best thing is Justin Fields.
Justin really... like the way he's playing and like the kind of, you know, how he's just bringing this aura to have like everyone behind him following and believing it now, like the way he plays, like his poise, like how calm he is. Like if your quarterback can be calm in hostile situations, I mean, I have no other choice but to be calm, you know, because he's the one calling shots. Like, so if he's out there calm and he's, you know, he's chilling, I got to be the same way. You know what I'm saying? I can't flinch if he ain't flinching. So,
you know, it's interesting that every now and then we get these calls that say, you know, I see Justin Fields on the bench and he doesn't look like he cares about the game. He's just got this indifferent look on his face. Hey, man, his blood pressure at all times is 120 over 80.
Yes.
And his facials do not dictate whether or not I think the Bears are going to win or lose. He's always same face for whatever reason. That's just his demeanor. That's actually good for the NFL, is it not?
It's really good. And the other thing is, David Montgomery wants to play whether he's injured. Look, that ankle and that knee recovered a lot more quickly because of his character.
Mm-hmm.
He guts it out. Other guys, yeah, just not feeling great. He knows he's not on a championship team. He wants to be out there for his guys. I love that kid.
Yeah, I'm a Montgomery fan. And in the passing game and in the running game, he cares, and he's doing all he can to try to help this team offensively. But I liked what he said about Justin Fields, because there's another side of the aisle that would look at Justin Fields and say, you know what, this kid is doing all he can to try to learn and try to be better as a quarterback. And as a fan, I appreciate that. I know what this season is. My hope is this time next year, next October, when we're talking about the Bears together, Cap, we're talking about a team that's going in the right direction. Not 500, not floundering, not really having an offensive identity, but a team that knows where they're going because they have weapons. Offensive line, wide receiver, tight end that he could utilize.
Not going to be there that quickly. They'll have some. They have a lot of cap space. They'll have a high draft pick. They have all their picks. I don't think this is a team that in 1 year you go, whoa, we're back, baby. I think they'll be much improved. I think 24 is when you're looking at a team that really can contend in the division.
It's a funny thing about the NFL, though. You add a few pieces here and there, and all of a sudden,
correct,
you're the Cincinnati Bengals from last year.
It's not like baseball where, you know, you draft a guy. See, in 4 years.
Yeah.
It's not like that.
Or maybe.
Maybe.
Right,
draft maybe. A high school kid, it might be 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Matt Eberflus talking about his thoughts about the Bears after watching the film. You know, he's one of these coaches, Cap, that he's always saying, I got to watch the film. You know, I thought we got away from that. Well, from Nagy, it wasn't the film. He gave you an answer. You may not have liked the answer, but he wasn't a film guy.
No, but he would always tell you, I got to find the whys. And then remember, yes, Olin, yeah, said, yeah, the why is look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
That was the best line. So I think I got to be honest here. When we hired him to be the coach of the Bears, I was like, yeah, he's a little vanilla. I like a little more personnel. I've been impressed with the guy. I have. I like him at the press conference. I like the way his teams play hard. He has no talent.
Did you like him going for two? Which one did? There was two controversial plays.
I did not like going for two. I understood the onside kick.
Mm-hmm.
I understood that one.
Mm-hmm. The onside kick, you said.
I thought Andy Reid going for two last night was dumb. I thought Josh McDaniels was even dumber.
Well, one thing about Eberflus, he told the defense, like, hey, we're gonna go for this here. We may not succeed, but we're going to go for it. It's almost like game situations, finding out how players react, knowing what this season is. I don't like a lot of trick plays. Now, the onside kick came out of nowhere. I didn't know that was happening. Nobody knew. It was just weird. And it didn't succeed.
He's trying to steal a game. I get it.
Yeah.
I do. I didn't like it. I get it. I did not like the going for two. Kick. First drive of the second half? No. Kick the extra point.
You know what? You mentioned about going for two. We'll talk about that in a little bit, about the Monday night game you just mentioned. But his thoughts about watching film.
So, yeah, just after watching the tape, just to reiterate what I said yesterday, last night, you know, really proud of the players, the way they fought in the second half. You know, certainly showed some resiliency after being down, you know, in the first half. Great finish of the first half, really good, you know, going down there and scoring. A good stop by the defense and then coming out, you know, and doing what we did in the second half. I thought that was really good. You know, my message to the players, and which will be the message to the players coming up in my team meeting, is that we have to finish and finish and make the plays down the stretch to win the game. And that doesn't mean special plays. You just got to make the mundane plays normal and make sure that we execute in those moments. And then we'll have good results at the end of those moments. So
it's a hits principle that he talks about. At least he has that as a mission statement. Now it's up to the players to be able to acquiesce and produce the way he wants them to produce.
Yeah, but again, when he sits down and he puts the tape on and gets something to eat, and he's like, all right. Oh, boy, look at this Pettis kid. Okay. Honey, I got to bench this Pettis kid. Oh, who are you putting in, honey? Smith Marsette. He's worse.
Yes.
I mean, he's looking down the roster going, what? Folks, who do you want me to put in?
Right.
I got nobody that can get any separation other than Mooney, and he was double covered there.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
But see, if Shea Norling is running the team, DJ Moore is on the ball club this week. Because you don't – listen, Shea came from Detroit where there is plenty of tanking, whether it's Tigers or whether it's the Lions, starting over again. But Shea, you know what's happening with this team. It's kind of like – yeah, I would love to see a wide receiver, a difference maker for this offense, but this is going to be the St. Brown, Smith Marsette, Velus Jones show.
So if they told you you can have DJ Moore right now, we'll fly him to Chicago on a charter, he's ready to go for Thursday, we're getting your number one pick. You doing
it? No shot. No. I'd say if I could get him for a fourth, I'd take him. Well, I think you got to give.
I don't think you're going to get him for a fourth.
No, I don't either. But that's I would go get him if the price is right. I think you go get somebody because it helps Justin Fields get opportunities to throw the ball and become a better passer and learn from a veteran wide receiver who's seen things in this league. I think that's helpful. I think those are reasons why you go get him. I wouldn't spend a major asset on him.
No, I would not either because I know where the season's going.
Correct.
I understand. I get it. But I sure would love to see it. You know, that would change a lot of narratives about Justin Fields. Like, here's someone I can throw to besides Mooney. We know it's not an arm strength thing because we've seen two or three bombs to Mooney.
Oh, Justin's got the arm strength and the athleticism.
Yes.
I would prefer, if I was trading assets, get me a left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I got to fix in the trenches before I fix anything else.
Right.
Yep. Period.
Yeah, no question about that. You mentioned the Monday night game that we talk about just briefly. So, again, out of all the NFL games, yesterday was fun watching the Chiefs and the Raiders. You talked about a couple of plays that you had a question about. There was a two-point conversion that was confusing. Was this in the third quarter for Kansas City where they already scored a touchdown and they're going for two? Was that in the third quarter?
I think it would say, was it late third?
No, yeah, late third.
Late third quarter.
The touchdown puts them up 7.
Yes.
The extra point would put them up 8.
Mm-hmm.
Early fourth.
Okay.
He decides to go for 2 to go up by 9. I thought that was idiotic.
Mm-hmm.
And looking on social media, football types, the analytics types are like, the chart says go for 2. The football types went, no, dumb. Take the extra point, go up by 8, and now you get an opportunity. The worst, if they get 8, you're tied. Josh McDaniels went for 2. If he gets it, and I thought that was a stupid decision, tie the game, but he went for 2. If he gets it, you lose because you went for 2.
Yeah, so this is how it went on the text chain yesterday. So Cap says Andy Reid going for 2 on the last touchdown was one of the dumber coaching moves that I've seen. And Snarling says, totally disagree. Going up 9 ends the game. Plus, they have a bargain bin kicker who can't make the kick.
I didn't say the kick.
I can't say the word that you used there. I took that out. And you say, Shay, what McDaniels just did was mind-boggling. Why do you say that?
Going for 2 down 1 is stupid. I mean, you have a chance to get the ball back. You have your timeouts. Going for 2 there, you're just giving yourself a hard time. Because now if Kansas City goes down the field and scores, you have to get the 2. You put yourself in a bad spot. And then they end up driving down 1 with the ball. If that's a tie game, things are totally different.
You agree with that? At the end, going for 2 in that spot? I thought they can go for they're going for the win on the road.
Yeah, but except there was 4:53 to go when he went for 2. I'm talking about McDaniels, not Reed.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes needs, what did he do in the playoffs? 18 seconds to get down the field.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a dumb decision by Josh McDaniels, and I thought it was a dumb decision by Andy Reid, both of them.
I thought it was smart by Andy Reid, and I think the thing a lot of people are forgetting is, yes, the kicker made a 59-yard field goal in that game. He also missed from much shorter, and 3 plays before the touchdown, he missed a 30-yarder and got bailed out by the most absurd defensive holding penalty on a field goal attempt I've ever seen in my life. So he wasn't exactly automatic. He would have been 1 of 3 on the day. 32-yard field goals now for the extra point are not a guaranteed proposition. I get taking your chances with Pat Mahomes at the 2.5-yard line because you're up 7 anyway.
It's just, I want you guys to either F or fight. This is just ridiculous. You guys going back and forth. JR and I are just on the sidelines, just watching you guys battle on text here. And, of course, Cap gives you the case closed. Dumb call. Good night, pal.
You're wrong. It's over.
Good night.
If Cap had an actual phone, he would slam the receiver down.
That's exactly right. That is the equivalent of 1989, Cap being pissed off. Good night, pal. Bam! Slam the phone down.
I'm out.
Good night, pal. What is this?
I was being nice.
You had enough. You guys are back and forth about whether or not 8 is different from 7. That's what you're talking about, single digits. That's what you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
At least we're not fighting about anything real. It's just sports debate.
Sports.
Dumb call, good night, pal. Bam!
Take that.
Jed Hoyer. There it is. That's what Cap did yesterday.
Correct.
What's the matter with you, Cap?
Just, I'm real, man.
You're real what? Jackass. Jed Hoyer talked about the Cubs offseason plans. Come back here. Don't hang up the phone on me. Jed Hoyer talked about the Cubs offseason plans. Cap has some insight on what the Cubs could be doing in the offseason. Listen closely next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Good morning, Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, where you can watch the show. Hope that you're going to have a great Tuesday. Talking about the offseason baseball moves for the Cubs and Sox. Can you imagine we got Major League Baseball playoffs happening and no Chicago teams again? Well, the Cubs are very interesting because Jed Hoyer got a chance to talk to the press yesterday about an hour press conference going through what the Cubs have to do for this upcoming offseason. Now, if you're a Cubs fan, you look at the team in the second half. You've been watching. They were as good or better than the White Sox. The White Sox are supposed to be a contending team, and the Cubs what from the roster they have, for the people that they traded, they still were competitive against good teams. They helped the Mets, you know, kind of in their falter, getting into the playoffs and then getting bounced out. The Cubs, when I look at this roster, there's still holes there. Jed Hoyer, the general manager for the Cubs, was talking about a number of things, including trying to get back into contention.
You know, we absolutely want to compete next year. We also want to build something really special for the fans. We want to build something stable, something lasting, and that's the lens that we're going to view our transactions this winter. You know, we want to make sure that what we build creates what we talked about before, which is year after year after year being in the playoffs and you know, giving these fans what they deserve, which is October baseball.
So do you agree with me about the status of the Cubs?
I do. I think the Cubs are actually going to be uber aggressive to a point. They're going to go out and target a shortstop. Mm-hmm. They're going to go out and target to improve their pitching staff. But Jed is terrified of giving someone an 8-9 year deal and then getting 3 years into it going, oh, God, are you kidding? Now, if you win the World Series like you did with Hayward, nobody cares. You made so much money winning the World Series, nobody cares. But if you sign Carlos Correa and you wake up in 3 years and he's been injured and it just hasn't worked out, we just got out of this one. Did we not learn anything?
Right.
So that's the point.
What does this feel like to you year-wise? Does this feel like 14? 24 to 2013?
Neither.
It feels like 15 to you?
Nope.
Oh, before that, 2012?
No.
What does it feel like?
Nothing we've seen before. Because in 2014, they had a good second half, just like this team did. They had Chris Bryant in the minor leagues, and everyone said he's the best prospect in baseball. And he won an MVP and a Rookie of the Year and a World Series and played a huge role in that and had a good run here till injuries slowed him. We had Rizzo. We had Starlin Castro at that time. They had plenty of money to spend, which they do now. You had Schwarber coming. You had a lot of talent in that minor, Addison Russell back then. You had a lot of talent in that minor league system. I don't see a Chris Bryant. I don't see an Anthony Rizzo. I see a good team with a lot of depth in their pitching infrastructure.
So this feels like a mid-90s team then to you. Because there was, you had a drought, as you well know, between 89 and 98. A lot of bad teams, a lot of fifth place finishes. That's the toward the end of Grace Riggleman.
See, if I was buying a stock, I would buy on the Cubs. I think it's a low price stock with a lot of upside.
Penny stock. I mean, really low. I mean, because you still need some talent, Cap. You're banking on the young pitching coming through. Like, you are this big Justin Steele fan. You think that he'll be, you didn't say frontline starter, but like a two, in the, if the Cubs are good.
A 2-3.
Kyle Hendricks, Stroman, is he going to be part of the team when the team's good?
Stroman will be. I'm not sure about Kyle. I just don't know about the health of his shoulder. I love the guy. I just don't know about the health of his shoulder. You need to go out and get a frontline starter, whether you trade and take somebody's bad deal like the Padres did with Darvish, or you go sign Carlos Rodon or somebody like that.
And you, there's so many holes here. You got to, this is not in order, but you need a closer. Rodriguez is not the answer. Manuel Rodriguez?
You got Cody Hoyer coming back. I think he may be your closer.
We'll keep our eyes on that.
Manny Rodriguez.
It smells like a setup guy, but okay.
Yeah. Cody Hoyer's got a chance.
Okay. And then we'll get to Wilson Contreras because there's a comment on Contreras here in a second.
He's gone.
Wisdom. As we've agreed that when the Cubs are good, no shot.
Right. I think he might be your first baseman next year. Now, I'll give you a name that I would definitely talk to. Jose Abreu.
Sox fans won't like that. But well, I mean, but I,
too bad for Sox fans.
Yeah. That would be a nice piece because you know what he's going to give you. Give you a hard effort.
Yeah.
Give you a DH first baseman. That'd be solved.
If the Sox do as is being rumored, do not bring him back because they're going to move Vaughn over to first, which is his natural position, or Sheets, but probably Vaughn.
Bring him to the north side. Nice two-year deal.
I get it. I get it. But you know what you're getting. You're getting a quality person, a good locker room guy, solid locker room guy. He's not going to mess around, and he's going to give you good quality offense, DH or first base. Madrigal, you love. That's part of your team. You got to get.
I don't know if I love.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
He can't stay healthy.
Excuse me?
He can't stay healthy.
Oh. You don't love Madrigal anymore.
He's a nice player.
What did I tell you about Madrigal?
You poo-pooed him. You were way too rough on him.
Rough? What are you talking about? You just love him because you can put him in your little back pocket. Not what you thought you were getting, huh?
No.
Two strikes.
I have no problem with him if he could stay on the field.
Hmm.
So hopefully, this winter, instead of rehabbing, he's training, and he's ready to go.
By the way, on this side of the table, the Sox fan will tell you, we saw something. Let him go. Take that.
We still won the trade.
I don't know about that. Did you? Did you?
Kimbrel? Are you kidding?
Kimbrel?
Yeah.
Is he still in baseball?
He's the Dodgers closer. And he's actually kind of teetering on that job.
He's not good.
That's no.
Like, okay. And then you got to get a new third baseman. You like Nico Hoerner. Put another guy you can put in your back pocket.
I'll put Nico Hoerner. If Madrigal can't play because of health, I'll move Hoerner to second. Go sign Trey Turner. We're starting to cook with gas.
All right, let's go. Say as your corner outfielder, Morel, I like.
Yeah, he'll be used around the diamond. Mm-hmm. David Ross told the team, this is a fact. If you're looking to play outfield here, you better learn center field because left and right are taken. Mm-hmm. Hap, Suzuki.
And Morel in the middle. Probably.
Aaron Judge.
Oh, we'll just start with Aaron Judge. All right, that's JR. That's enough of the Aaron Judge.
Judge, Correa, and Turner. All this offseason, right, Cap? All three of them?
We can play Correa at third?
Mm-hmm. That'd be great.
It's not like you don't have the money for it.
We do.
I mean, but as you mentioned, it's so funny the parallel between the Cubs and the Bears. You say 2024 for the Cubs when you should be all in.
You should be, I'm not saying all in, but you should be really contending.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, team's getting better.
Mm-hmm.
24, let's go. Mm. In that moribund division, stop. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Some thoughts.
By the way, how'd that work out for you Cardinal fans out there? Nice weekend. You're at home, lose two straight, got your ass beat. Go back to your boring-ass city. Take that.
Contreras.
So great.
Is he coming back?
I had a great conversation with Wilson the other day. You know, we've always had a really good relationship.
Sure you
and, I mean, I just admire how he competes, and I admire the passion. Like I said, we'll definitely make him a qualifying offer.
And we'll cheer for him.
We'll be in touch with his representatives. And, you know, as far as his comments and things like that, I'll take the comments he sort of makes to me directly, you know, not those. And like I said, I've really enjoyed, you know, I've always enjoyed our relationship, and I've really enjoyed watching him grow from I remember watching him play in Boise in 2012. And, I think whenever he's been doing the Cubs for a long time, and, I'll sort of take those comments and what we've talked about.
Yeah. Okay. I love Jed. You know that.
Yes.
Jed, let's just be honest. I'll be the role of Jed Hoyer.
All right.
He's out. We'll give him a qualifying offer so we get a draft pick. Zero chance we're signing him. We'll be in touch with his representatives where we send all his stuff because he didn't clean his locker out. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
His stuff is sitting in his locker. He left. Yes.
Okay.
He's not even in town anymore.
Yeah. Well, as I said at the time when they signed Yan Gomes, that would be the end. For Contreras. I knew that's what, because I understand the direction and I want him to go to contender because Wilson Contreras is a good player.
And he's a great person.
Yeah. Lastly, the one thing about the White Sox as far as the managerial search is concerned, NBC Sports Chicago and McGuffey and those guys have been on it as far as the search. Some names that I did not expect. Brother Ron Washington is on the list, possibly for the Sox job.
Not that.
Rumored. I still think Bochy's at the top of the shelf for me. There's other names, too, that we have.
Beltran, Eduardo Perez, Joe Girardi, Ozzie Guillen, John Gibbons, Snorling said.
Offer.
Mike Schilt, the former Cardinal manager.
What do you think of that list after Bochy? What do you like? What do you like?
I mean,
for that team, Latin heavy team, right?
Latin heavy.
I think that matters when your next manager to communicate for those like Robert and whoever else is in that locker room. I think that's important. I wonder, and La Russa spoke Spanish.
He did.
Yeah. So I wonder, is that going to be a factor?
Renteria spoke Spanish. All of these guys usually can communicate with the Latin player.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are they changing the dynamic in there? Are they trading a big... Well, first of all, if they don't re-sign Abreu, that's a huge Latin presence that's out.
Yes. There's Robert. There's Aloy.
Look good in Cubby Blue.
All right. Just get back to the Sox. What happens here with the manager? Put your hands down.
No.
The Sox. I want to ask you... I ask you your question... Your thoughts on that list.
I'll give it to you after this time.
Well, we got worse weekends. Right, we'll got worse weekends. Once again, my partner holding the information will not tell people what's going on because of his text messages.
Go to break.
All right, we've got worse weekends coming up next on Cap and J Hood. Now, this Bochy. Gibbons is dead.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood.
Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app. Swept by the Pirates.
We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness for this atrocious performance.
Falling in an outhouse. Or maybe a dose of instant karma.
The evidence would lead me to believe that he did not break the plane before getting rid of the ball. And who knows what's going on inside that helmet.
It's time to find out who had the worst weekend on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We got Shay, we got JR, and we got you, the ESPN Chicago app, where you can find so many of our great podcasts, including Chauncey's Great Outdoors, available now on the ESPN Chicago app for fishing and hunting.
Yeah, lay in a hammock and listen. Can I sidebar, may I approach for a moment?
We're in the worst weekend.
I have something that's breaking I got to give you.
Did it happen this weekend?
It happened, yes, it happened this weekend.
Is it breaking news?
I don't know if I'd play the sounder for
breaking
it.
News.
No,
JR,
don't hit it.
This is breaking news. Whoa. On Chicago's home breaking for sports, ESPN 1000.
We turn now to veteran newsman David Kaplan with breaking news here on Cap and J Hood. David.
The Phillies have announced that David Robertson, who they acquired from the Cubs for a very good prospect, is out for the division series. He injured his calf when he jumped up to celebrate Bryce Harper's home run. Strained said calf. It has not responded to treatment.
Oh.
Out. Not on the roster.
We turn to Shay Norley now with further thoughts on this breaking news, Shay.
Sounds like a bad weekend to me.
JR with further analysis. JR, we go to you.
You shaky bastard.
All right, now to worst weekends. Here's Shay Norley. Shay?
Thank you. All right, I want to start with a headline I just found.
Pretty good headline.
A $1.5 million floating home prototype sinks into the ocean at its unveiling.
What kind of prototype?
It was a floating home, and at its debut, it sank into the water.
Where was this at? Where does this happen?
Ocean Builders takes this floating home prototype. It was dubbed the Sea Pod. I'm trying to find the exact place. Panama, I believe, but I don't know exactly where. They debuted it after spending $1.5 million on it. There was a malfunction in the pump system.
People
were on the home looking at it, and there was video apparently of them racing to get off while it's tipping into the water and then eventually sinking.
JR?
I want to know at what point does it float is in this process. Is it step two? Is it step 709? Like, maybe you could put some weights out there on a barge and just see if it can hold up there. You put $1.5 million in it and then figured out it couldn't float. I feel like that's something that could have been prevented.
I mean, my God, you got to go through.
Rough weekend.
I mean, yeah, it's rough, but I mean, you put that much money into it. You want to make sure it doesn't, I don't know, sink? I mean, I would be crestfallen. Angry. That kind of money.
A question from the back. Yes. Are we sure that it floats?
That would be the JR question.
I guess not.
All right, Shay, we put that on the list. Next.
This might be my favorite headline of all time. Woman who just learned to walk after a car crash, hit by roller coaster after being on the track.
Okay, all right. You got to give me some further on that.
Yeah. She was in a coma. This happened in Australia. Uh-huh. So the car crash she was in was a rear end. She was at fault, and she wasn't wearing her seatbelt. So she got ejected through the windshield. Then a year later, she finally is learning to walk. She's got ability to use her legs again. She drops her cell phone onto the roller coaster track. So she goes to get onto the track, and while she's on it, gets hit by the roller coaster.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. You talk about the worst luck.
I mean, I can't imagine she was as nimble as Tyreek Hill. What? Nobody can help her out here?
It said the roller coaster shot her 25 feet into the air.
Oh, God! Oh, God! Oh, God! Just learned how to walk again.
Oh, what a great story. What a great story. Da 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 da. Look at me, Cap. I can walk again. Ba 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 ba. Oh God. Da 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 da. And then,
damn it, I dropped my phone.
I dropped my phone. I can walk. Oh God. Not again. A million pieces.
I mean, you talk about a quality decision maker. No seatbelt on, flies through the windshield, then going to get the cell phone off the roller coaster track. What are we doing here?
Oh my God.
Wow.
You talking about the worst luck. All right. What's the next one? I don't know if we could beat that.
That might be the win.
Twitch held their TwitchCon in San Diego on Saturday. They had a foam pit so the Twitch streamers who were there could, like a gymnastics thing. You jump off of a board into a pit that's filled with foam.
Yeah.
Didn't do a very good job building it. It was mostly concrete, and the foam was of very low quality. So noted Twitch streamer Adriana Chechik broke her back in two places jumping into the foam pit.
That's not good.
Okay. Lawsuit.
Big lawsuit.
Where's Aiken Law for this?
Howard?
I mean, seriously.
Porn star on line one.
Wait. Now, hold on a second, Shay. You get into one of these pits, it's kind of like a kid's ball pit at the same time. Like kind of like that, right? Soft. You think it's durable enough for you to fall in there. And then she broke her back in two places?
That's bad.
It says that the pit was less than 2 feet deep at one point, and USA Gymnastics has said they should vary from 4 to 8. So it was not deep enough. That's a drop. And multiple people injured themselves. There were broken ankles, a lot of sore backs, and then Adriana Chechik broke her back in two spots.
Well, I got Aiken. That's sponsored by Aiken Law, for sure.
3126 million.
Yeah, so, all right.
Sign my ball.
That's all right. That's number three. Now, what's the next one?
The final candidate is the New York Mets. Now, it's one thing to win 101 games and get eliminated in the wild card. It's baseball. Stuff happens.
That's okay.
It's another thing to win 101 games, get eliminated in the wild card, and in the eighth inning with two runners on, trailing 4-0, you bring in Edwin Diaz and play the trumpets. And then the ESPN cameras go to Padres fans dancing and doing the trumpets in your own house.
I mean, look, Cap, when I first saw that, I'm thinking, well, it's part of the gimmick. When Diaz comes out, save situation, non-situation, people expect when he comes out, the trumpets are going to play.
Right.
I mean, it's part of what he is.
It's pretty awesome.
But the Padres fans are dancing in New York knowing that we're going to beat their ass. And they lost 2-1. Padres move on. So, I mean, what if he came out there and there was no music? Well, that doesn't work. I know what you're saying, but, I mean, it's part of the gimmick.
It is, but I wouldn't have played it.
No music?
No music.
It should be only for, like, save situations or when they did it in game two, he came out, they were up. I don't remember exactly what the score was, but he came out in the seventh inning. He was going to go for, like, a 6 or 9 out outing. Then you play it down 4-0, two runners on. Maybe just hold it in the chamber.
No, no, no. You play. It's like Ric Flair coming down the ringside with no music. That wouldn't work.
But
you gotta have Space Odyssey 2000.
Different.
How?
Because this one, it's your crowd's all into it. Here he comes, ready to lock it down. And instead,
yeah.
We're down 6-0. Our season's coming to an end. No. You don't play the trumpets. Sorry. Not getting the trumpet. Sorry, Edwin.
And the camera followed him all the way through, right? Right, Shay? The ESPN cameras?
Sure did. Well, yeah, when they weren't showing Padres fans dancing to it.
That's the whole Musgrove ear game, too. But you know what? Hats off to the Mets, though. 101 wins. Don't go far, but at least you got to the postseason.
They got there.
And they got an owner who cares. Robinson Cano, out.
Done. Pay him his money. Get him off my roster.
I like it, man. All right. That's the worst weekends. We have the Cap and J-Hood cut of the day coming up. But first, Danny's going to put money in your pocket in 1 minute right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.
WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.